Feast of Tabernacles greetings. This is the fifth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, October 5th, 2012. Everything's going good up here in Lake Tahoe. We've had really nice warm weather. Today it's cooled off a little bit. And it's supposed to get a little cooler toward the end of the feast into the low 60s, which is still pretty warm for up here this time of year. All right, we'll have our reading from the Psalms, and today we'll read Psalms 25. Unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember you me for goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. My soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That's the main verse for the purpose for choosing this psalm for today and today's sermon. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. There are many secrets in this Bible, so to speak, that God has hidden throughout the ages and to the whole world. But those secrets are revealed to those that fear God, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn unto me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring you me out of my distress. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Well, here's a personal psalm about someone, you know, who's in trouble, but they're counting on the mercy and the love of God to forgive them and of their sins and rescue them from their troubles. And then, you know, it ends with, you know, do that not only for me, but for all of Israel. Redeem Israel. And when is Israel going to be redeemed as a nation? Now, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, at the beginning of the millennium. Let's turn for the first scripture of the sermon to Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 29. In verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. Yes, there are many things that we just can't understand. We can't understand the eternity of God, how life functions. I mean, we can see scientific, but there's more to life than just some scientific principles of metabolism and all of that. But, you know, human birth, or the birth of any animal or reptile, it's a miracle that we can't understand in its totality. But God has revealed some things to us down through the ages. Today's title for the sermon is, What is the Mystery of God? And the mystery of God is about the kingdom of God. So let's go through the scriptures and rehearse that. Let's turn to Matthew 11 and verse 25. Matthew 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Now, it's not intelligence. There are secret things that Jesus Christ preached and taught about during his ministry on this earth. And, the wise, the intelligent, couldn't understand them. But the simple could, and then the real understanding didn't come until after his death and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Matthew 13. In verse 11. And, the disciples asked him, why do you speak in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So here Jesus said, there are mysteries surrounding the kingdom of heaven. And our sermon on the first holy day was to review what is the kingdom of heaven, the message of the kingdom of heaven, which is the coming of God's kingdom to this earth. And for the saints to be born into the kingdom of heaven at the first resurrection. And that's what we're here to remember, to rejoice in, and to celebrate. The coming of God's kingdom, spiritually and physically. And that's a mystery. It's been a mystery down through the ages, the whole process and what's going to happen and when. But he said, the disciples would have some understanding. In verse 34, and all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So there are a lot of things that, even the Old Testament prophets and the Old Testament forefathers and the saints, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth, they understood enough. But they didn't understand all the details that we have, that Christ revealed. What are some of the mysteries of God? Well, we've talked a little bit about this in the sermon on the first holy day, and even a little bit in the second sermon about the 6,000 years for man and the 7,000 year plan for mankind in general by God. But, we talked about in the Old Testament that for most of the people who read the Old Testament, it was a mystery to them that there were two comings of the Messiah and that the Messiah would need to die for our sins. And that's why the Pharisees rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah, because they were looking for the Messiah is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that was a mystery in the Old Testament. But is that a mystery now? Some mysteries, after the preaching of Jesus Christ, you don't even have to be converted in that sense to understand that mystery now. You know, all Christians in general, and you know, even other people who believe in different religions, who know what Christians believe in, understand that we acknowledge, all Christians in general, acknowledge Jesus Christ dying for our sins, and that he shed our blood for our sins. So that's, you know, that was a mystery in the Old Testament, but it's no longer a mystery today. So what are some of the remaining mysteries, or what's hidden? Well, we talked about this again in the first sermon, so we're repeating some of this, but from a different point of view. Here in Matthew, the 13th chapter, we have the parable of the seeds that fell on, verse 4, some seeds fell by the wayside, and some seeds fell on stony places, and some seeds fell among thorns, and some seeds fell on good soil and produced, good crops. And then we have the parable of the tares among the wheat. And then verse 31, we have the kingdom of God is like unto a grain of mustard seed. In verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. And so all of the parables in this chapter are about the kingdom of God. Here in the book of Matthew, Matthew refers to it as the kingdom of heaven. And again, the first verse that we read, verse 11, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You know, many Christians, you know, most all Christians believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior that died for their sins. But not many Christians seem to understand or believe in the immediate return of the second coming of Jesus Christ after 6,000 years. You know, some do, maybe quite a few, but even those that do believe in that don't understand the significance of it or what it means for the second coming of Jesus Christ and the setting up of the millennial rule and the first resurrection. And there are many other mysteries associated with the second coming of Jesus Christ and the setting up of the kingdom. Let's turn to Romans next. Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans, Romans 11 and verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in, and so shall all Israel be saved. Part of the mystery of God's plan of salvation is that it's necessary for the world to be blinded. Now, several months ago, we had a sermon on why the world needed to be blinded. That if they hadn't been blinded, then they would have never crucified Jesus Christ. If the world would have had their eyes opened and recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah and accepted him as the Messiah, then they would have never allowed him to be crucified. So part of the mystery is that blindness had to happen to the Israelites, to the Jews, specifically among whom Jesus would be born and live his life and preach, to the Jews, first of all, for 3.5 years, and that the Jews in general would be blinded. Now, there was a multitude that did follow after and listen to Jesus Christ and was mesmerized by what he taught and by what is preached, but they didn't really understand it. They weren't really converted, not till the day of Pentecost came. And then what? On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized, and a couple days or a week later or so, another 2,000 were baptized. So it's, you know, the world doesn't understand that God on purpose has blinded the vast majority. You know, and Christians don't think they're blinded, and they think they need to go out and preach and save everybody, and they believe that if they don't get to them and teach them about Jesus Christ and get them to accept Jesus Christ in their hearts, you know, they think they're going to hell when they die, that they go straight to hell and die. And they think, I guess, you know, all of the people in the prior to the life of Jesus Christ who never heard about the God of Israel, I guess, you know, they go to hell. And those in, you know, Africa and South America and Asia that have never heard anyone, you know, no missionaries have ever gotten there in, you know, the last 2,000 years and whatever, that all of those people go to hell. And so, you know, the mystery of how God is going to work with all of humanity that has never known or heard Jesus Christ preach to them, let alone have the opportunity to believe in it and accept it, that they will receive a chance to hear and to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah during the Great White Throne Judgment Day. However that works, we know very little about that. Now, what a cruel God Christians in general believe in. What a cruel God they believe in. The God that Christians believe in is not much better than the God that Muslims believe in. Allah. Allah is a very cruel God. But the God that the Christians believe in is not much better. The true God is a kind and loving God. But that's the kindness, the greatness of the love of God and His kindness is still a mystery, even to Christians in general. Let's see here. Romans 16. Verses 25 and 26. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest in the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, in this scripture, it doesn't specifically state what that mystery is, but it just says that, you know, it's been a mystery from the very beginning down through the ages, how God's plan of salvation will work. You know, the prophets talked about it, but they didn't really understand it. The prophets prophesied about the first coming of Jesus Christ, but they didn't really have full comprehension that the Messiah would be a human being and die for their sins and our sins. And we'll read another scripture relative to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verses 7 through 10. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, you know, we've already talked about that. God blinded the Jews in the world because Jesus Christ needed to die. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, some of the Jews don't even believe in a resurrection. They believe you just live on this earth, you're supposed to live a good life, and when you're dead, you know, you're dead. Remember, even the Apostle Paul, there was a division. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection, but the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection of the dead. You know, that's how bad the blindness was. And, you know, even today, few people comprehend the purpose for humanity to be born into the kingdom of God as the children of God. You know, most Christians think when they die, they go immediately to heaven and get a pair of wings and a harp. You know, they don't even know or understand what they're going to do for all eternity. You know, we've got a clue, and that's about it. But we know that our destiny is much more than being angels. And when you die, you don't go to heaven. So the purpose for mankind and what God has prepared for mankind, what God wants to accomplish with mankind, is still a mystery to most of the world. But you and I have an opportunity to understand that. 1 Corinthians 15 is another part of that mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, Christians think this is talking about a rapture. And we'll have another sermon and talk more about what maybe Christians believe in relative to that. But, you know, they believe in a resurrection, some of them, but most of them don't really. You know, the Catholics believe you go to heaven when you die, or purgatory, and then hopefully you get prayed into heaven. That hopefully your family and friends and the other saints will pray you out of purgatory into heaven. They believe in a resurrection. They believe God's going to take all of the souls of those who are angels in the heaven and put them back in physical bodies and resurrect them. Well, that doesn't make sense. And they don't really preach that. You know, they throw that in their teachings just to be in sync with the Bible, but they don't really, you know, preach about a resurrection. They preach about when you die, you go to heaven, or to heaven through a short stay in, hopefully in purgatory. Hopefully it's a short stay. But we understand the purpose of a first resurrection, that everybody is dead in their graves until the first resurrection. And then we become the children of God, not angels. But that's how that works is a mystery. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth and in him. So that's a kind of a summary statement that the overall purpose of what God is trying to accomplish through Jesus Christ is a mystery to the world. Acts, let's see here. Acts, the third chapter, talks about the fullness of times. Acts chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Acts 3, verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive unto all things of restitution, and all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. this is talking about the restitution of all things through Jesus Christ. And that's a mystery. It doesn't use the word mystery here, but that's what Ephesians, the first chapter, is talking about. Let's return to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 3 through 9. Ephesians 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So there, he's saying that there are many things about God's plan of salvation that was a mystery in Old Testament times, but now has been revealed, through Jesus Christ, and understanding given to the apostles and to the prophets. And who wrote the New Testament? Well, the apostles. Or, in a few cases, the assistant of the apostles, Mark and Luke. But everything else was written by an apostle. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, here's another part of the mystery that especially was not understood in Old Testament times. That salvation is also available to Gentiles. In the Old Testament, they thought God was just the God of Israel. Did the Israelites in the Old Testament understand that they were going to be resurrected and born into the family of God? I don't think so. Not in general. Maybe Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Daniel, and Isaiah, and Job said he looked forward to the resurrection. So some of them understood it, but not in the fullness that you and I understand it after the preaching of Jesus Christ, after the ministry of Jesus Christ. And, even the apostles didn't understand until, Acts, the 10th chapter, that salvation was available to the Gentiles. How many years went by before they understood, hey, this is not just for Jews and Israelites. This is also for the Gentiles. That was a mystery even to them. Until several years went by, and then God, through a vision and dreams to Cornelius and Peter, made it known that this is also for the Gentiles. It's for everybody. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Let's see, how far did I want to read here? Verse 9, unto me who is less than the least of all the saints, it is grace given that I should preach among you, among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That God's mercy and love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, is also to forgive the sins of the Gentiles. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in Christ, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have spiritual fellowship. Gentiles, Jews, Israelites, all races, all creeds, all colors of skins can have fellowship together and fellowship with Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of everyone. Chapter 5 and verse 32. Nevertheless, let every man, let's back up a little bit. Why did I write down verse 32? I want something before then. Where is it that I want? Well, that's 32. I was reading verse 33. Okay. Husband loves your wives, verse 25. Christ came to sanctify and cleanse the church, verse 26. that he might present it to himself, that he's going to marry the church. We had a sermon on that on trumpets. And verse 30, for we are members of his body and his flesh of his bones. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That Jesus Christ is going to marry the church is a mystery. Now, I just finished reading the 14 books of the Left Behind series, and I enjoyed it. I thought they did a fairly good job, even though, you know, they made some major mistakes in some areas. It was still very interesting, and I learned some things. If nothing else, I learned what they believe about some things. But, you know, one thing they skipped over is the marriage of Jesus Christ in heaven above to the church. Didn't discuss that. Didn't come up. Didn't even so much as mention it. And they mention, I mean, they spend, you know, the final book is about is called The Glorious Appearing. And it's about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ doesn't come back until like halfway through the book. But they go into great details of what they think will happen when Jesus comes back, and different battles and fighting the beast and the false prophet and all of that. And they picture a resurrection, and we'll talk more about that when we have a sermon on the resurrection. But not a mention whatsoever about Revelation, the 19th chapter, where there's a big marriage feast in heaven. Not mentioned at all. They don't understand that. And therefore, I guess they just left it out. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And what was our first sermon on the first holy day? You know, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the gospel of the coming kingdom of heaven. And all that it takes for the kingdom of heaven to come to this earth. And that can only occur through the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiveness. And, you know, that was the purpose of the first sermon. You know, what is the gospel? Well, that's what our first sermon was about. What did Jesus Christ preach? He didn't really preach that much about his death and resurrection. He preached about the coming kingdom of heaven. And what you needed to do, to obey God, love your neighbor as yourself, to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Then he privately told his disciples, apparently in just like the last 6 months of his 3.5-year ministry, that he was going to die. And I don't think he told them that often. And they didn't understand it. They didn't get it. The disciples, the apostles who became apostles, then they preached about the purpose of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Colossians, let's see here. Colossians, the first chapter, verses 25 and 20 through 27. Wherein I have made a ministry according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. Now, Jesus, there were many reasons for Jesus Christ's first coming. One of them was to open up understanding of the mystery of God's plan of salvation. How much clearer it is to New Testament Christians than it was to Old Testament Israelites. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, what's another part of the mystery of God? That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit power of God, actually dwells within Christians, those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, who repent and are baptized. That's how the Holy Spirit works in us and through us, is a mystery to many. That's a part of the mystery of God. And it's only through the Spirit power of God in us that we can obey God and make it into the kingdom of God. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. Colossians, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3. That their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love and in all, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
See, you know, the full understanding of the plan and purpose of Jesus Christ and God the Father and what they're doing for humanity, their children, the fullness of that is a mystery.
Colossians 4, verses 3 and 4. Withal, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak.
You know, so through Jesus, through the church, Jesus Christ is revealing to humanity what is the mystery of God's plan of salvation. The trouble is very few hear it now. And many who hear it now, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. And, you know, that's one of the warnings in the Bible, is that some would come to understanding, but then they would depart from the truth. Or they would become disobedient and give up and lose the knowledge and the understanding and their spiritual purpose in life. Many have fallen by the wayside. The parable of the seeds.
Now that's another part of the mystery of God, is that Christians can be deceived and fall away from the truth.
The scriptures, in, like 2 Thessalonians, that there will be a great falling away. That's a mystery to the churches of God. Most of the churches of God don't get it. They don't understand that the truth of God has been corrupted even in the churches of God that had that understanding at one time. And they've lost, not all of it, but some of it. Changed Pentecost, changed divorce and remarriage. Don't understand government. Don't understand the real purpose of the Day of Atonement, the totality of the purposes of the Day of Atonement, and so forth and so on.
2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7, just review all the scriptures that talk about a mystery. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity does also work, only he who now lets will let until it be taken out of the way.
Well, this chapter is about the man of perdition. It's about the beast power. You know, what's going to happen in the book of Revelation is a mystery to most of the world. Most of the world does not believe the book of Revelation is going to be fulfilled literally. They think it's allegory. Or they think it's the Apostle John was talking about what was going on in his lifetime in the Roman Empire. And they rationalize it away. Or it's all allegory. It's all symbolic. They don't think the things that are described in the book of Revelation are going to happen literally. And certainly, you know, not in our lifetimes. Yeah, some do. But many, if not most, don't. So even future prophecy is a mystery. And the beast power and the false prophet and what they will do The one world faith and a one world government opposed to the ways of God, that's really going to happen is a mystery to most of the world, even many Christians. Not all, but many. Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, verse 9.
1 Timothy 3, verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. You know, through faith, through belief in God, and through the understanding that He has given us as a gift. Understanding the mystery of God as a gift. It's not something we can read through the Bible and on our own efforts say, aha, I get it, I understand it. No, it's by the grace of God, through His mercy and His love, that He gives us understanding through the power of His Holy Spirit. No amount of human intelligence and reasoning and studying the Bible can understand the mystery of God. Verse 16 of this chapter, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, and without the controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up unto glory. So here he summarizes, you know, the mystery concerns in Jesus Christ and His purpose and what He accomplished in His first coming. This is available to the Gentiles, that Jesus Christ is sitting in heaven above, waiting to come back a second time. And that, you know, the whole process of salvation, talking about forgiveness of sins and redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, that's part of the mystery. Not as big a mystery now as it used to be, but still a mystery to other religions. They don't understand, you know, Islam and Buddhism and Taoism and other religions. You know, they don't understand forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews, the 5th chapter and verse 11. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. You know, the Apostle Paul, the book of Hebrews is written to Jews and Israelites in general, and in, you know, in that sense, Christians too, spiritual Jews. And he's saying, you know, even among the people of God, it's hard for some of you to understand what God is doing. And, you know, look at what the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. He said, why are you so soon removed from the truth? And all of the warnings of the Apostle Paul and James and Peter and John about people departing from the truth, and the spirit of iniquity does already work. And the Apostle John in his letters, three letters, said that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work among the churches of God, among the people of God. 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So, you know, this is what we've been talking about, that even the prophets that prophesied about Jesus Christ and His death didn't really understand what they were prophesying. Now, they believed in God, and they can be in the first resurrection, but they don't have the depth of understanding that you and I have. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. Revelation 10 and verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. So when does the mystery of God become clear to everybody, what God is doing and what he's accomplishing? During the days of the seventh trumpet, the seventh angel. And what happens during the seventh trumpet? Well, the last trumpet will sound after the seventh trumpet. Jesus Christ will return to this earth. The saints, the dead saints will be resurrected. The saints that are alive will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And it'll become clear to everyone what God's plan of salvation is, what God's purpose is. Because it'll happen. Everyone will see the second coming of Jesus Christ. Everyone will see the saints resurrected and changed. And shortly thereafter, they'll see them as the armies of God coming back to this earth to defeat the beast power. That's when the mystery of God will be completely and totally revealed, because it comes to pass. It happens. God's plan of salvation, for human beings to be born into his family as the children of God. That's when the mystery will be revealed. And then, as we talked about, let's turn to Revelation 17, as we've already talked about in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. There's also a mystery about the evil. Revelation 17 and verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth. The mystery of false religion, the mysteries of false Christianity, that there is such a thing as false Christianity, that doesn't really worship the one and only true God like they should. You know, that's a mystery to the world. In verse 7, And the angel said unto me, Why do you marvel? I tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. So, you know, it's a mystery. The false prophet that will serve the beast and cause the world to worship the beast. That religion, that's a mystery of how that's going to happen. And it's a mystery that it'll take place. But the mystery of evil upon this earth, and that people will accept it as the truth. That they won't believe that it's evil, that they'll believe it's good, and that they will accept the beast as their God, and his religion as their religion, and that they will worship the beast. That that's really going to happen, that's a mystery. So let's summarize. We've reviewed the scriptures about the mystery of God, and we're talking about that. Because what this feast pictures, what the Feast of Tabernacles pictures, and even the last great day, the eighth day, what that pictures, the coming kingdom of God to this earth to be set up during the millennium, and the doors open for the first time for human beings to be born into the family of God through the resurrection at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's a mystery to most of the world. Only the few know and understand that mystery. Mysteries hidden in the past that the New Testament reveals include the mystery of the kingdom, Matthew 13:11. This is something that I got from off of the web from somebody talking about the mysteries of God. The mystery of Israel's blindness, Romans 11:25. The mystery of the rapture, well, yeah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We're going to have a sermon on the resurrection. But in that sense, we do believe in a rapture, it's quite a bit different, though, than the rapture that most Christians believe in. And we'll talk about that. We're going to have a sermon on the resurrection. The mystery of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. The mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3:4. And of Christ in the church, Ephesians 5:32. The mystery of Christ in the believer, Colossians, first chapter. The mystery of incarnation, you know, living a godly life through Christ in us, 1 Timothy 3:16. Paul saw himself as a steward or guardian and dispensator of these great mysteries, 1 Corinthians 4:1. To bring to light these mysteries which for the ages have been hidden in God, Ephesians 3:9. So these are mysteries that were hidden in the Old Testament that are now revealed through the preaching and teachings of Christ and his apostles, his plan of salvation. If I summarize it, the main mysteries of God's plan of salvation, I came up with seven. One, two separate comings of the Messiah. That was a mystery in the Old Testament. It's not a mystery now. Two, the Messiah would come as a humble human to die for our sins. Again, that's an Old Testament mystery, not a mystery now. Salvation would be open to the Gentiles. Three, that was three. Four, a false Christianity and blindness of the whole world down through time. Five, blindness and falling away of many within the true church of God, many called, few chosen. Six, of how we make it into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ must live in us through the Holy Spirit so that all the glory goes to God the Father, not us. You know, how we overcome, how we're forgiven, how the mercy and the grace of God works in His Holy Spirit through us. You know, that's part of the mystery. And seven, we are to be born into the family of God as His children, not angels. In the first resurrection, and that Jesus Christ will marry the church. Those are all part of the mysteries of God. The mystery of God has changed over time. Many of this was, most all of this was a mystery in the Old, to the Old Testament believers. But Jesus Christ in His ministry started to clarify many of these things. And then it became even clearer after His death and resurrection. And the inspired writing of the apostles clarified most all of these things. But even the things that they have clarified remain a mystery to most of the world. It's only given to those to whom God chooses and opens their mind to understand the mysteries of God and His plan of salvation and of His coming kingdom. What a privilege it is for you and I to have that understanding of what the mystery of God is.